Today I want to talk to you about the lamp and the alarm. No, just the lamp. Just the lamp. And in Mark chapter 4, Jesus says, he said unto them, do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, it's interesting that we all have ears. Now, the real question is, are you wanting to hear what God wants to say? Because we all got ears, and sometimes we filter everything we want to hear through what we want to hear. Because, you know, sometimes God has some things to say to us that are tough to hear. But there's life in his word. Listen to what he says. Verse 24. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. And whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. That's why it's important that you hear. Because what you hear contributes to your life and eventually contributes to others. The moment you stop hearing is the moment you shortchange the people around you, and what you do have is going to be taken from you. It's a spiritual principle. You know what that means? We all need to be spiritually awake. Because the temptation is to be spiritually asleep. Paul will say this, wake up! Wake up! Why? Because some people in the church had fallen asleep. You know, we get into routines, and we do this, and we do this, and we do this, and we do this. And before you know it, you can slide into complacency. There is this thing I was reading about, an ethical slide. The other day, you have this right and wrong, but then the ethical slide begins when you just say, well, I can fudge on this just a little bit. It kind of works like this. When we were, had kids at the house and the phone would ring, The temptation was, just tell them I'm not here. That's what I call the ethical slide. It doesn't seem like much until your kids get 15 and 16 years old, and now they're lying to you because you taught them how to lie answering the phone. Or not answering the phone. Because here's what we know. What you do in moderation, your kids will do in excess. So it's very important that when the phone rings, yes, this is Pastor Larry. Ouch. But it's true. We can all play that game. Here's the parable of the lamp. This little lamp right here, I got in Israel, and it's a model of the lamps that were all over Israel during Jesus' day. And the lamp, Jesus says, is a light. It's a light. And I don't know about you, but I'm amazed the power of light. The lamp makes the difference in darkness. The lamp makes a difference in darkness. And this lamp that Jesus talks about, you know, typically in Jesus' day, when you brought the lamp to the table, you brought the lamp into the room. But the verb that Jesus uses here is not a bringing of the lamp. It is the lamp came. It came. The lamp comes. And he's referring to his own self. That Jesus is the light of the world. And the more you sit in his light, the bigger the light becomes. I want the light of Jesus over my life. Amen? Because I don't want to live in darkness. I want more and more of his light to show up in our lives. You see, you can turn the lights back on now, guys. You see, the lamp or the light comes in the room for a purpose. God sends his son for a purpose. And you don't hide it under a bowl. You don't put it under the bed. The light came for a purpose. This light that Jesus was talking about wasn't brought in. It came. It appeared. Jesus is that light that came into the world. He comes that every eye will see him, that every ear will hear the truth, the revelation, who Jesus is. The lamp is to be known. The light is to be discovered. Jesus was his name. And the purpose is to discover the light. That's why he came. To hide it under a bowl to hide the revelation of who Jesus is in your life would be a tragedy. To hide it under a bed would be a tragedy. You see, the truth of the matter, Jesus says this, you place it on a stand. Why? So all can see. So all can see. Do you know what it means? The light is for the community's benefit. It's not for individual taking. It benefits the individual, but you set it on a lampstand for the benefit of the community. You display what the light and who the light is for the benefit of those around you. You do it. The light is used for common benefit. It appears in Jesus' day, something was hidden. But it was about to be revealed in Jesus. In the Old Testament, the scripture says that the Old Testament is a school, a teacher that leads us to Jesus. In the past, it was veiled. It was not revealed in its completeness. But when Jesus showed up, the light showed up, the revelation took place, and you and I have a place to anchor faith that goes beyond a today and gives us hope for every tomorrow. That's what he came to do, to reveal Jesus. You see, Jesus came to reveal the mystery of the kingdom. That which was hidden is going to be unveiled. So Paul will say of the Jewish community, a veil still is over their eyes. Why? Because they haven't seen the revelation of the light. Huh? The secrets of the kingdom will become known in Jesus. A revelation will happen. Here's the amazing thing to me is that you and I, people, have the opportunity to hide the light, to cover it. Is that not amazing? Why would you want to hide the revelation of who Jesus is? I don't know. When I was looking at this, I don't know if you've ever been into that restaurant where you got your meal and you sat at the table and you said, man, I wish they'd turn the lights up so I could see what I was eating. I know it's supposed to be romantic. I know it's supposed to be some ambiance and darkness. But sometimes, I don't know about you, I just want to see what I'm eating. Some might be tempted to hide the light. Think about it for a moment. You bring in a light, you set it, and then you cover it. Why negate the purpose of the light? By covering it. I think sometimes we cover it for our own personal gain. I want it just for me and no more. Sometimes I think traditions can disrupt the light from shining. We've been talking a little bit about that on Wednesday night, about leadership and what it takes to begin to see what God has set before us as a church. Some might be tempted just to hide the light. And some, you know, some want to put a bowl over it, and some of them want to stick it under their bed. And I don't know. I kind of wonder why Jesus said, put it under a bowl and put it under a bed. Because, you know, when you put it under a bed or you put it under the bowl, you get the same results. Hiding the light. Maybe, just an idea, maybe one of those means our public life and the other one means our private life. Then in our public life, we put a bowl over it because, you know, Christians, once they find out you're a Christian, once you find out you have the revelation of Jesus, and, you know, sometimes it's threatening there. Now, I think you can be wise in your witness in a public place. Well, they don't let me talk about Jesus. What do you mean they don't like you to talk about Jesus? You can talk about Jesus without even mentioning Jesus. I mean, you gotta ask God to give you that kind of wisdom. Because I think there are times when Jesus showed up, and what did he do? He didn't talk about himself. He just asked the question. Sometimes just asking the right question will create an opportunity for the light to show up. God, help us to be wise in relationship to the revelation that we possess. Yeah, I think sometimes the bowl is pride in our own heart, our own life. We're self-sufficient people, and pride can cover things up. You know, sometimes it is, nobody else is going to tell me what to do. Don't ever get married. Only the men laughed at that. I don't understand that. And sometimes sin can cover the light of God's revelation in your life. Listen to me. It is important that we walk righteously before God because you are a light to darkness. Amen? And sometimes, you know, then he says the lamp under the bed. And really what he's talking about there, see, in the biblical day, they sat at the table and they reclined. They did not sit in the chair that you sit in this afternoon at lunch. They didn't do that. They reclined. When you see Jesus having communion, he's laid back and John is on his chest and they're just reclining. They enjoyed the relational connectivity of a meal. Today we do drive-through. No relational connectivity, except hurry up, please. Gotta help us, Lord, to slow down enough to enjoy the food that's before us. And the family and the friends. Huh? The bed. Things we do in secret. Nobody's supposed to know about, maybe. Can I tell you, the Bible says this, that which is done in secret is going to be revealed openly. Everybody's going to know it. You know what that means? Repent. 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 Live a life of repentance. Don't ever stop repenting. Being sorrowful for your sin. Being sorrowful for what you've done against God. When you sin, it's not against people, it's against God. When David sinned with Bathsheba, it was Psalm 53:51. You can read it. Against you only, Lord, have I sinned. He took ownership before God that he didn't betray these, even though the effect of his sin was a terrible thing. He took ownership before God. You alone, God, have I offended. You alone, God, have I betrayed. And that is putting the light under the... It's terrible. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. 2 Corinthians 7:10, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But listen, but worldly sorrow brings death. Aren't you glad Jesus has an answer for our shortcomings? His blood. That you and I, no matter what we've done, no matter what where we've gone, God can forgive us. Hallelujah, for the power of his blood. Because we all need that, don't we? Yeah. God sent his son, but he didn't send his son to hide his identity. And you know what? He calls us to be imitators of God. We don't need to hide the identity of Jesus. Sin will stop the revelation of who Jesus is. Evil will stop the revelation of who Jesus is. The devil, though, will not and cannot stop the revelation of Jesus. He tried, and on the third day, boom! He came to life. Glory. You know what that means? That same power that raised Christ from the dead is living in us so that we could let the light shine. Let the light shine. For in Jesus, the deeper purposes of God are revealed. Who would have ever thought that in the death of Jesus, victory would come to the bride? It just is perplexing to think about it. But God, rich in mercy, makes a way for us to come boldly before the throne of grace. Amen? Yes. Jesus' obscurity will be overcome in power. Every eye will see him. Jesus' weakness will be overcome in power. You mean Jesus had weakness? Yes. He died. A sinner's death, your death, my death. He died. But listen, death could not hold him. Because he knew no sin. And because he knew no sin, death could not lay claim to him. He died for our sin. He died for our death so that we could live newness of life. We could live. He makes the divine exchange. He dares to trade you death for life. You want it? Death for life. You get to trade your death for his life. And it's not just temporal life, it's eternal life with him forever and ever and ever. And in that forever, he is the light of the city. Glory to God. Yes. First John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 says this: in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Ooh, hallelujah. The darkness will not, the darkness will not overcome the light. That's why I want to live in the light. Because I don't need darkness to overcome my life. I want to live in his power. I want to live in his light. Amen? Now Mark comes to the warning. Take heed. Listen. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And even more, whoever has been given, whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken for him. You see, this is what he's saying. In the light of the revelation of the light that Jesus brings, don't harden your ears. Don't miss the light. Because if you miss the light, the life you possess right now is going to be taken away from you. But if you obtain the light, what did he come to give you? Abundant life. And that abundant life is going to lead to eternal life. Amen? You need a little spiritual perception, because the danger and the trap of the enemy is this: you're just living for now. I'm just going to have fun today. God just wants me to be happy today. Can I tell you, happiness is not the end goal. Holiness is. Happiness is not the end goal. Eternity with Jesus. Amen. In this world, what are we going to have? Tribulation, trials, persecution. That's okay. Why? Because it'll all be worth it. Amen. It'll all be worth it. Be careful what you hear. Receive the light with joy. Don't resist it. Don't think you can live without it. Because listen to me, you can, but it's not God's plan or design or purpose. You got to receive. You got to taste and see that God is good. You can look at that steak all day long. Excuse me, vegetarians. You can look at that steak all day long, or that portobello mushroom all day long, and think about how good that tastes, but you will never know until it passes the gate. And the same is true with God. You can look at other believers. Some of them do a good job of representing light. Some of them not so good. You can reflect on their lives about who Jesus is and all that. Kind of get some assumptions. But let me tell you something. You will never know. You will never know unless you taste and see. There's something that happens when you taste of God. You begin to see like you've never seen before. You begin to see the reality of living life under the canopy of his love. Life unfolds in a way you can't even imagine or dream or comprehend, that every day means something special in the eyes and plan and purposes of God, that I'm not just clocking a time clock. I'm just not waking up every morning for just to doing the drudgery again. I'm living for his purpose, his plan, his future, his hope, and with joy in my life. Well, I don't know, Pastor Larry. A lot of Christians I know, they're just full of lemons. Well, you can't let the fact that Christians choose to live a joyful life rob the joy out of living for Jesus. I love Jesus, and I love living for him. Amen? So we got to take heed what we hear. In John 1, 9, it says this: the true light that gives life to everyone has come into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. Thank God, I've been born again. And that's where we get that scripture from. I've been born again. Not by the will of man, not by the will of anybody else, but the Spirit of God hovered over my life one day, brought godly sorrow over my life. I repented of my sins and found the joy of eternity residing within my heart. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Thursday morning, as is my habit, I come into the sanctuary and pray just about every day. Thursday morning, I walked in here and all I could do was cry. I just wept and wept and wept and wept. I didn't understand it. I couldn't comprehend it, but I just began to pray in the Spirit and cry and pray in the Spirit and cry. And I know the Holy Spirit was just interceding for some of you and for some other circumstances and situations, but I want you to know that God knows where you're walking right now. Some of you need the help of the Holy Spirit where you are. And what you're walking in and what you're having to deal with, God is ready to help you. Jesus, the divine intercessor, was interceding for you, where you are. Some of you have never tasted and seen that God is good. You've danced around Jesus, you've talked to people who know Jesus, but you have actually never tasted. Today he says, come. So here it is. You're walking through that valley. I'm going to ask you to come and to surrender to him. If you need Jesus, I'm going to ask you to come. If your relationship with him has become stagnant, complacent, and you've ceased to hear from heaven, I'm going to invite you to come. Don't miss the light. Don't hide it under a bushel. Don't hide it